Welcome to Life as a Nephrologist, a podcast series by the National Kidney Foundation. I'm Laura Brereton, director of our Clinical Practice Guideline Development Program, KDOQI. Our goal with this podcast is to take a look at nephrology as a career and to encourage medical students and residents to choose it. We're exploring what day-to-day life is like for nephrologists at different points in their careers and highlighting their varying interests, projects, and stories. In this episode, we're going to talk with Dr. Clarissa Diamantidis, an assistant professor in the divisions of general internal medicine and nephrology at Duke University and a nephrologist at the Durham Veterans Affairs Medical Center. In addition to seeing patients, Dr. Diamantidis works as a researcher and clinical educator. Her research focuses on promoting patient engagement in the care of chronic kidney disease. Welcome, Clarissa.
Hi, Laura. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here. So we like to start off by asking, what led you to choose medicine and nephrology in particular?
So I was always going to be a cardiologist in life. I was the daughter of a cardiologist. I went into residency thinking for sure I was going to do cardiology. And then ultimately decided to change to nephrology. But I think the things that sort of led me to internal medicine and cardiology are the same sort of passions that led me to nephrology. The idea of caring for a complex patient where there was not just one simple answer to cure disease. And really, my particular personal passion is in healthcare disparities, and is one of the reasons I was drawn to internal medicine. And then ultimately, I was thinking of doing cardiology and went into a dialysis unit and was sort of blown away at the very overt disparities that were there, and really started to think about a career in nephrology.
Interesting. Okay. So cardiology and then to nephrology. So you had that exposure to the dialysis clinic. You know, in previous episodes, people have said that early exposure to nephrology and different settings in which nephrology is practiced is really important. So that's really interesting that you bring that up. And so in addition to practicing as a nephrologist, you're a clinical researcher. Do you want to talk a little bit about maybe some of the projects you're working on right now and kind of the overall direction of your research in general?
Sure. So I do a lot of work in what would be described as pre-dialysis kidney disease. So much of the work that I do is sort of much earlier on the continuum of kidney health. So even before development of any kidney disease, like people who are at risk of developing kidney disease, those who have hypertension or diabetes, or those who have early to mid stages of chronic kidney disease is really where I spend most of my research time. And I work in sort of three general areas. One, of course, is in health disparities, which is sort of the fundamental theme of all of the work that I do in nephrology. The second is really in this idea of patient safety, the idea of keeping patients with kidney disease safe, because kidney disease, as we all know, is a very complicated condition that sets you up for many adverse outcomes. And so the idea being that if there's anything that we can modify in our care of patients with kidney disease, or really my particular interest is having patients with kidney disease be their own safeguard against potential harm, like an incorrectly dosed medication or, raising awareness about the potential dangers of over-the-counter medications like ibuprofen or Advil, something like that. I really have a deep interest in centering the patient in their own CKD care. And then also something that kind of overlies all of those interests is the use of more contemporary technologies like websites and mobile applications to provide this educational content to engage high-risk populations and hopefully to reduce disparities and improve outcomes across kidney diseases.
Wow, that's fascinating. And I can see how it all ties together too, you know, the self-promoting of safety and the use of technology. That's really, really interesting. How early in the nephrologist's career, say someone wanted to go into research and they knew this, how early do you think they need to find that topic or that area of expertise?
Well, I would probably be classified as a late start to research. I did not really get my hands dirty in research until the end of my first year of renal fellowship, the beginning of my second year of fellowship. So I did not go through life knowing I was going to be a clinical researcher. And what really led me to make that choice was, again, this is like a pervasive theme, but early exposure to research. And my deepest exposure to research in kidney disease was during fellowship, where I was exposed to all these phenomenal healthcare disparities researchers and sort of quickly realized that, you know, sort of the passion that I had for kidney disease was really for the greater good, right? Not to sound too kind of touchy-feely, but rather than just the day-to-day and caring for one patient at a time, it became very evident that sort of broad sweeping changes in the field of nephrology were needed. And the path by which I could make those changes, hopefully, was through research, right? It was sort of a faster, a broader way, really, to impact the lives of those affected by kidney diseases.
Right. I can definitely see that. And do you think someone interested in this career path needs an additional training qualification? So either a master's in clinical research or an MPH, or is this something that people can go into just during fellowship with a medical degree?
So I do think you can start research, right? I think before you sort of dedicate yourself to getting an advanced degree in research, obtaining, usually you have to obtain some funding to support maybe an extra year fellowship to do more didactic coursework in research. You do want to dabble a little bit in research. Just honestly speak to people who do research and kind of understand a little bit more about what that means, what the day-to-day might be. Decided on research at the end of the first year of my fellowship and ended up applying for funds that would help me get some didactic training in research methods. So I have an advanced degree now in clinical epidemiology, which I obtained during the second year of my fellowship and finished my thesis during the third year. And so it was all wrapped into one experience, though. I had formal mentorship on research, on a research project, let's say. The methods I was using, I was learning in my classes, I used to carry out that research. I ended up writing a paper on this particular research project, which then ended up being the thesis for my master's dissertation. So it was all kind of folded into one common goal, which was to really permit me to do the research in a scientifically rigorous way, rather than just saying, well, let me do research and not really understand the science and the math behind what it really means to be a researcher. So the short answer is yes. I think formal didactic training is extremely, extremely beneficial. And I'm a big believer of the idea of it, you don't know what it is, you don't know, sort of thing. And so it was very valuable.
And it sounds like fellowship was a feasible time to do that if you were going to do a separate degree in research.
Absolutely.
Okay, so next I'd like to ask you a bit about how you manage all the different components of your career. So we know that you work as a researcher, but you also see patients and you're also a clinical educator. So it would be great if we could hear a bit about how that works either on a day-to-day or a weekly basis and how that is all planned out and managed.
Sure. So I am primarily research. So I do about 25% of my time is spent seeing patients, mostly at the Durham VA hospital. So I care a lot for veterans with kidney diseases. I do time on the general internal medicine wards and the inpatient and outpatient nephrology services during my clinical time. And then the remainder of my time is predominantly spent doing research. I actually have a position in the Division of General Internal Medicine here at Duke. And so I sit physically with a group of investigators from a diverse background who really all have an interest in chronic disease clinical research. And so on a date and embedded throughout all of that are sort of teaching opportunities. So most of which are informal. So I don't do any formal teaching in the medical school, but I do teaching, clinical teaching with the house staff and medical students, including some, small groups at the medical school, I should say, or, morning reports or lectures with the house staff informally on rounds. And then on the research side, I also serve as a mentor to several trainees. We have a very large kidney disease clinical research community here at Duke. And so we have, approximately two meetings every week, which are wonderful opportunities to give lectures on certain research topics or research proposals or applications. And so, quite honestly, it seems like I'm always giving a talk about something to someone, whether they want to hear it or not. And so I would say that I think one thing that I would just want to speak about here is that one of the concerns that people have when they want to go into clinical research is that they have a love of seeing patients, which I totally understand. And I would just say that I also do as well. And I don't think the two are mutually exclusive, right? So I have a wonderful opportunity to care for these amazing veterans, have excellent relationships with most of them, and really have been able to establish a longitudinal, kind of continuity of care, which is so important when we're trying to engage these populations. And, they sort of motivate me, hopefully, as much as I motivate them. So just one kind of common misconception is if you do clinical research, then you actually don't have that same experience. And I would sort of say, I think for me at least, it's even a little bit better, because when I do have clinical experience, I am so highly focused on that clinical experience, and it's such a precious time for me that I actually value it more, I think, than if I were doing it every single day. Just personally, that's my own personal experience.
How do you manage the logistical side of the research? Are you responsible for obtaining funding or kind of maintaining a program of research on behalf of your department in any way?
Yes. So how about I give you sort of a broad overview of the life of a clinical researcher, which is cool, but at least I'll give you sort of my broad experience. So
yeah.
So research, of course, is the obvious, doing the actual research is the obvious, majority of the thing of the time that we spend, carrying out the research projects, having research team meetings, reviewing data, doing quality checks. We do research in looking at data that's already been collected a lot of times, which we call secondary data analysis. So for example, I do a lot of work in something called the Jackson Heart Study, which is a cohort of African Americans in Jackson, Mississippi. And part of the kidney disease working group out of that large study. And so we do a lot of research related to the data that's been collected in the Jackson Heart Study. And that's what you call secondary data analysis. I also have my own research programs, which are related to what is called primary data collection, which is where I collect the data myself. And I personally do patient-centered interventions. So I have patient-facing research. So I have studies where I recruit patients, ask them to partake in our research study, follow them up, and then analyze the data, and then subsequently on all of these, do the analysis. We meet time and time again to go over the data to make sure we're doing it in a rigorous way, that there are no biases in the way that we're looking at it, and then we write it up and we send it around and we re-review time and time again. to support all of those activities, we have to have funding. And so there are different levels of funding. When you are first beginning, you have things called career development awards, which is, I think, a beautiful part of being a researcher. You don't really get thrown into the deep end of the pool. There are actual dedicated funds that will help you protect your time, give you monies to carry out the projects that you want to do, but really will support your development as an investigator. So you will have the time and the money to take formal coursework on a certain, you know, either condition or research method that will really strengthen your ability to then subsequently become an independent investigator, which means you, it's not that you don't still need career development. We all need career development throughout, but you don't necessarily need the day-to-day formal mentorship that is available through career development awards. And so throughout your life as an investigator, you'll be putting in grants to support, basically to do two things. One, to pay your salary to be able to work at the academic institution. And then two, to also be able to have money to do the research that you're proposing to do in your applications.
Okay. And just so that people can find these career development grants, are they generally given by the employing institution, or is this something people will have to seek out through the National Institutes of Health and other organizations?
So the answer is both. The answer is yes to both of those. So the largest probably funder is the National Institutes of Health, the NIH. They have several types of career development awards. There are also amazing foundational career development awards for what are called young investigators, people who are just now becoming researchers in their own right and still need some formal mentorship and career development. The National Kidney Foundation has a wonderful Young Investigators Award. Several other foundations have those types of awards as well. And then at most academic institutions have what are called intramural, means that the university themselves have grants. And so they have intramural opportunities for career development training programs.
That's perfect. So another question I would have is, what skills or characteristics do you think would benefit someone looking to go into this career path in general, even before they got an additional degree or didactic training?
I would say sort of an unrelenting curiosity is always beneficial. I would, you know, much of the time that I spend throughout the day is really just talking to people about ideas or projects or, you know, finishing up projects. Really, it's this sort of community of scholarship. And if mm-hmm. you enjoy being with a group of sort of like-minded academics who like to talk about things that are related and unrelated to the goal of the meeting at hand, then research might be for you. Sort of you sort of charge your battery by being around others who are as impassioned about improving health as you are. And so for some people they don't like that. That's not really what they like to do. They do their best work, on their own, potentially. And I think for a clinical investigator, particularly in today's climate, collaboration is key. So kind of an interest in being able to collaborate with others, I think can only be beneficial to you.
Oh, I love that. And what about looking back at your career in particular so far, is there anything that you would have done differently if you could have?
So I went to a lecture not that long ago. It was a National Kidney Foundation Young Investigators Forum. And I'll tell you, it was fascinating to see several senior investigators kind of give their career development pathway talk, about how they got to be where they were. And the common theme throughout all of them was that there was no common theme. Everyone sort of arrived in their own way. You sort of set out with this goal for sure. you know, for sure, I'm going to be an academic cardiologist, like with looking at heart failure, right? This is what I knew for sure. And here I am, a clinical investigator in nephrology, and I'm excited every day to go to work. You know, I think this idea, you know, having flexibility is very, very important because there are so many opportunities and things that we are not even aware of. But I think that one thing that is somewhat problematic when you're doing research is when you change institutions. Now, I've changed institutions twice now. And so despite our best efforts, I think you always, there's always a delay to get your research right, up and running again when you change institutions. So potentially, I would say if I were to change one, you know, kind of trajectory of my career path, it would be maybe to not change institutions or to maybe go directly where I wanted to go, you know, a little bit earlier, because there certainly will be a delay. It takes a while to establish those collaborations, get your projects up and running, understanding who does what where. And so there, despite our best efforts, it always sets you back a little bit.
Right. Okay. It does sound interesting in that having a career as a researcher, in addition to being a practicing nephrologist, you get to collaborate with people outside of your institution and kind of build this greater network. I think personally that sounds like an exciting part of it as well.
Yeah, that's phenomenal. And I will say what I found, which may not be the same experience as everyone else, but in my world, nephrologists are wonderful collaborators, right? I mean, you see huge names of people that you're reading about in, you know, in our journals and what have you, and then you meet them in person and they're like these lovely, wonderfully genuine people who you can now establish these long-term relationships with. And there are very few people that I've met in nephrology who I actually don't like. And I'm not sure I can say that about many other fields.
I completely agree. I guess that one of the last things we like to ask people on this podcast, because our goal here is to really improve education and look at nephrology in a way that would attract more people to it. So having worked in this career for a while, what would you say that we could do to improve nephrology education in a way that would make it a bit more accessible or exciting and generally attract more people to apply for these fellowship positions?
I think understanding that nephrology is more than just physiology and dialysis are critical, right? In our medical student experience, we sort of know renal physiology. That's what we're taught, acid base and electrolyte disturbances. And that is such a small part of what we do day to day. That really, I think the bulk of nephrology, the nephrology clinician experience is being mm-hmm. underrepresented in nephrology education. That's changing mm-hmm. somewhat. There are a lot more opportunities now, I think, in certain medical curricula to have more of a clinical, you know, more clinical vignette based, less focused specifically on just acid base and electrolyte disturbances. Really to show the broader aspects of nephrology. You know, I think understanding sort of why we care about kidney disease in general, the unbelievable burden of kidney disease in the United States. I think when I speak to medical students or trainees about the epidemiology of kidney disease in the United States, they are blown away. Because what they know is, you know, what they're learning is how to determine what acute kidney injury is, or, you know, how to understand magnesium physiology and really understanding the broader picture, more of a population health perspective, I think really needs to be brought into nephrology education, because I think it will sort of spark an interest in a lot of people. I know it would have sparked it earlier in my life for sure.
Yeah, that's great. Well, thank you so much, Clarissa. Before we go, is there anything else you would want to say to anyone possibly considering a career in nephrology or as a nephrology-focused researcher?
I would just reiterate that nephrology is so much more than dialysis and physiology. That really is a wonderful field that you can make your own because it has so much primary care in it, because there's so much continuity of care, because it's such a complex medical condition with procedures and sort of a budding research community. There are tons of opportunities for you to make your nephrology career what is most valuable to you.
That's perfect. Thank you so much for talking with us today, Clarissa Diamantidis. And now we want to hear from you. If you're a medical student or a resident considering nephrology and you have a question about working in the field, or if you would like to come on the podcast and talk about your career as a nephrologist, please email us at nkfpodcast@kidney.org.